This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. Lumthando Ntontinambo on Power 98.7.
1934 on Power Business. It is still Tuesday. We are still speaking all things entrepreneurs and entrepreneurship. We've just spoken to Andile Africa, the CEO at the Automotive Industry Development Center, speaking to us about the programs which they run there. And then, as we do on Tuesdays, we profile a company, a business, an SMME, and make sure that we tell the story to also get some of the lessons and the nuggets from the journey. So today I am joined by Sipho Baki, who's the director at Automotive Component Supply and a beneficiary of the program that we just spoke about. Sipho, thank you for your time this evening and good evening.
Welcome. Thank you.
Sipho, maybe we can start off by speaking about you and your journey and how you find yourself as an entrepreneur in this space.
Phew, it's a long journey.
Well, give us the high level story.
All right. Nolthando, what can I say? Mm-hmm. I've worked in the automotive industry, mm-hmm. for over 20 years. I've worked for several companies. Mm-hmm. I started at Dobel Automotive, mm-hmm. and then I ended up at Toyota South Africa. Mm-hmm. In 2016, that was my last formal employment. And then from there, my background, basically, where I'm coming from, just to give you an idea, mm-hmm. I'm from the Eastern Cape originally, mm-hmm. in a small rural farm called Alexandria, mm-hmm. East Coast of between Port Elizabeth and PE. I'm from that region. And then I grew up in Port Elizabeth. I studied there. And I did my mechanical engineering at PE Technicon at the time. I don't know what it's called now. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then from there, I joined the mines for several years and then went on to automotive. That's where I spent my lifetime, basically, mm-hmm. my entire career. When I had a vision when I left school, mm-hmm. that one day I would be a business owner. Mm-hmm. And that vision around about 2013 came to haunt me, and I couldn't breathe. Mm-hmm. And me and my boss at that time, my ex-boss, Werner, I said to him, you know what, I'm going to leave. Mm. But not now. Mm-hmm. We need to get students so that I can train them. We train them so that by the time I leave, at least, basically we set up succession planning at that time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I wrote my business plan, mm-hmm. initially. I presented it to the GEP. I couldn't get help. Mm-hmm. Eventually, they told me a person with the kind of skill, automotive skill, you must go to AIDC. Probably they will be able to help you. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, no problem. So I went to AIDC, mm-hmm. in Silverton. Mm-hmm. In fact, I drove there. Mm-hmm. And then I asked them, when are they recruiting? And they told me, I must just wait for the newspaper. Every October they do recruit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then I waited. Mm. And then my time came. Mm-hmm. I went for interviews. It's not easy. Mm. Mm. Definitely, it's not easy. You need automotive experience. And in that interview, I was prepared already. Fortunately for me, I was doing a MDP at Toyota at that time, mm-hmm. Management Development Program. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So by the time the interview kicks off, I was ready.
Okay. Yeah. That's good. That's wonderful.
Yeah, I was ready.
Right on time.
You got on time, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I started the interviews. Then I went for assessment. Mm-hmm. Yes, the assessment was serious. It was, mm-hmm. intensive. They give you a report where you go through a report, you study it, you come up with plans of action, you present those plans of action. Mm-hmm. Then from there, they came back to me and they say, Asipho, we accepted you. However, you're going to go to Nissan, mm-hmm. Incubation Center. Okay. I don't know what happened. They phoned me again in January, mm-hmm. that I'm going to go to Incubation Center at Silverton.
Okay.
And then from there, we met with other business owners. I think we were about five or four in a room. Mm-hmm. Around about January, May. I'm not sure what is May or January, but in that year. And then I started, I joined that time in 2017, the AIDC Incubation Program, mm-hmm. in May.
Sure.
My first task, it was MSSL, obviously. Mm-hmm. We did the interview with MSSL, and then I had to now, this was my tier one. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. MSSL.
Okay.
What do they do? MSSL, basically, they make bambas, ready to grill. It gets molded and then gets baited. And then they supply to the incubation center.
Okay.
And then they also makes ready to grills. Then they get painted as well. And then those also come to the incubation center. In the incubation center, we assemble the assembly bamba.
Sure.
And then we sequence it. So as the grill. So once we sequence it, then obviously there's a company that pulls, that takes the parts all the way to the fitment point. So the pressure is one, is all the parts we assemble must be there on time. That is it. And every 2 minutes, the vehicle is coming out of the line. So we're talking 500, plus or minus 500 vehicles a day.
Oh my God.
That's the volume they're pushing in that particular. And it's real.
Yeah,
that's the first thing I realized. It's real.
Yeah.
And if you don't get it right, there's no second chances.
Oh my.
You in or you out. That's how it goes in that incubation. And it's practical. For you to get to where I am, you really need an experience. It requires resilience. It requires good attitude, discipline. You have to, I remember when in 2018, when we were pushing for to get G1 from Ford, G1 basically it's a quality certification you get from a customer that say you are a really, really good supplier. So obviously it's based on capable system, AQFP, advanced product quality planning, is based on performance, production performance, is based, there's a lot of things they look at. So I remember at that stage I was sitting about in terms of performance for Q1 at about 90-95. I was ranging there. And then my first time getting the letter from the US, I say, Sipho Baji.
That's amazing.
Yeah, priority supply.
That's amazing, yeah.
For MSSL. I'm like, what? Yeah, I said, yeah. Then I got the letter from there. They flew the Q1, plug.
Oh, that's
plus
amazing.
The flag, the Q1 flag. So currently in the incubation, they've got a Q1 plug plus the Q1 flag, which was very, that's when things changed for me. And changed for the company at the time, which is MSSL. And then from there, because we're a priority supplier, and then Ford started to bring more and more product up to now. So initially when we started there with the students, I mean with the employees, we were 69. To this day, we are sitting at about over 285 employees.
Wow.
And that's when then my time come to really now graduate out of the program that is in March of this year and be on my own standalone incubator. That's how my journey
went. Amazing. Yes. So, well, let me get this right. When you entered the program, all you had was your dream that was giving you sleepless nights and your experience.
Yes.
And you came out on the other side with more than 200 employees.
Yes.
And so the program's been able to hold you throughout this process.
Look, how the program works, let me just maybe start off with that. There was a first business owner, which also did the same, 5 years. And he went and worked inside Ford. I was a second business owner from the start of the program. So whenever a business owner leaves, the employee stays behind. Yes, so that for continuity.
Wonderful.
For continuity. So those employees were there, they still remain behind. And then a new business owner takes over.
Okay.
And I get new people. Amazing. On the other side. Where then I start a new career with new people, train them, show them the ropes and all that, up until they get to a situation where they are able to perform and supply the product.
Just talk to us about the importance of incubation. I think maybe a lot of business owners might think, I know the work, but there's obviously something that happens in the incubator. We can call it a pressure cooker.
Yes.
We can call it a pressure cooker of sorts.
Correct.
Talk to us about the importance of incubation and what it's done for your journey, that that you wouldn't have been able to get it if you hadn't gone through the process.
Yeah. Look, for me, for starters, I'm a mechanical engineer. With a mechanical engineer, you're much more comfortable with the equipment than the people. It changed me completely.
Amazing.
Now you have to deal with emotional intelligence, and it's all about emotions. Dealing with people is all about emotion. Mandela used to say, leading people is not an easy affair.
That's when
it is a fact. It made me I became different. Mm. I changed from the Sipho that I used to know. Okay. I shocked myself because I know I'm like the guy for equipment. Mm-hmm. I'm a book guy, you know, everything is by the book. But I've learned so much. I've learned on how to manage people, how to work with people. I think it's a key in that for you to be successful, you need to know how to work with people. Mm-hmm. If as a leader, you don't know how to work with people, you are actually asking for problems for yourself. You're going to dig yourself and deep and deep. So we had to go through the HR policies, principles, methodologies. And then from that training, AIDC, they push you through those. There's so many training you go through with AIDC. You go labor laws. This was a lot. Accounting. From accounting, you go, I've did all of that.
Sure.
And by the time you finish with all that information, you are able to write your own thing. Develop your own thing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And imagine, I can develop you one just like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, quality system just like that. Before, yes, I would do it, but very now it's in my mind, it's in my brain. I work with it, I live with it. It's in my nature now. Mm. That's the thing. That's how it changed me, basically.
Very incredible. When we're going to take a quick break, when we come back, I'd like us to speak a little bit more about your journey. I want to speak about funding. You know, entrepreneurs and funding. I know that's a very, very a big one. But also, about the development of the sector and your own hopes and dreams for South Africa's automotive sector. Because I'm sure you now think that big. Yes. You don't know that you've gone through the program. Correct. So let's quickly do that.
Power Business with Lolu Tando and Thonthi Mlambo. Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. and Fridays, 6 to 7 p.m. on Power 98.7.
1947 on Power Business. We are still in studio with Sipho Baki, director at Baki Automotive Component Supply, and a beneficiary of the AIDC incubation program, but also a player, you know, a formidable internationally recognized player in South Africa's automotive sector. Now, Sipho, before the break, we were really touching on your journey and really the importance of incubation. But I'm keen to find out from you, was there ever a time, when all of this was happening and you were part of the program and you were trying to push out all the components that you're supposed to push out, where you thought, you know what, I'm going to go for Varna, I'm going back. We're wrapping this up. I don't need this in my life. This is stressful. Let me phone Varna and say, Varna, I want to come back to work.
Was there a time? Talk to us about that time. Yeah, there was a time like that. I remember at that time, MSSL, their MD was Vishnu, Mr. Mm-hmm. Vishnu. Mm-hmm. And how this happened, actually, we're busy with the count. Mm-hmm. And whilst we're doing the count, my understanding of a count, you count and then you put the actual stock in the system.
Okay.
And there was a question around it initially when we started this program. The question was, why so much variances? Mm. Then I explained, usually, this has always been, when I worked from Toyota, if your system is not consuming right, you will get variances, period. Mm-hmm. You can come up with all sorts of tricks. Mm. If your parts and your item are not loaded correctly into the system, you will come up with variances. Mm-hmm. We, at that time, we were supporting the accounting, the finance. Remember, your consumption, your bombs are linked to accounting, finance team. So at that time at Toyota, we were supporting the finance team. So my role was to make sure the system, the routing, and I would know who are the people who are the smartest in the company that can do that. So then that was when this thing started. So the MD at the time phones me on a Friday. Mm-hmm. And I said, Sipho-san, I'm not happy with you. I said, no problem, sir. If you're not happy with me, then I cannot work. I told him, I cannot work with a person who is not happy with me. Mm. Monday, I'm going to come and resign. It's not an issue for me. There's another gentleman, Mr. Wade, but he's also no longer there as well. Mm-hmm. And he said to me, no, Sipho, he didn't mean it like that. let's talk on Monday. Mm-hmm. I said, no problem. So mm-hmm. we had a meeting on Friday. Mm-hmm. We went through the same issue again. Mm-hmm. So, and then obviously AIDC intervened mm-hmm. because I did explain to them what is happening in the system, mm-hmm. what is going on with the stock. And they went through, and then the whole thing was like, we can move ahead from
amazing.
There.
Mm-hmm.
So you do get those kind of obstacles, and they happen. But for me, because of my experience, I've seen, I've worked with a lot of systems. I'd see what they can do. Someday good, someday bad. It's the nature
of the game.
Of the game, yeah.
Nasiba, talk to us about funding. You know, a lot of entrepreneurs are tripped up by funding. Even me, I know very little about the automotive sector, but when I think of it, I think of big machines, which means expensive machines. And so I'm wondering from your perspective, you know, funding and how funding has played a role in your journey or not. But also if there was a time when you were not ready for funding and then you became ready for funding.
Yes. Look, one way or the other in the automotive industry, you will need support, financial support.
Okay.
And that is the reality of, because they're not playing with small numbers, by the way. They're not playing with 50 cars a day. Those days are gone. We're playing with like 400 cars. The investment stakes are high. So whatever equipment we're using, it has to produce 500,000 pieces minimum. Sure. If your tool is not able to do that, then you are wasting time. You might as well go home. So you can't be thinking small. You have to think big. And that is the reality of the game. So whenever you put up a system there, remember, whatever you do is going to affect the user out there. So you have to think like that. That is why we've got a system risk. We do risk assessments. You know, I just want to use the jargon. You know, there's a lot of names. I'm just going to say risk assessments, where basically you check your product and see what risk is involved here. And then from there, you work your way up. So the automotive industry is a cutthroat business. That's number one. Very cutthroat. It's either you make it or you don't make it.
Sure.
There's no
in between.
So, you know, in my space, for example, with the funding, let's start with the funding. First, you have to convince the funders that you can do this. You have to be confident. You have to show that you are capable. The slight hesitation from your side, you're not going to get funding in the automotive. So I remember presenting to Ford, you got 15 minutes to present to get fund. 15 minutes. You have to convince the people that are there that you can do this in 15 minutes. And we're talking, not talking small amount, we're talking big amounts when you do that. Same applies with the IDC. When you go for funding there, I remember they put in 7 people for interviews. I spoke till my mouth was dry. and that was the reality. And fortunately for me, because what they've done, they made sure my business plan is in my mind. For months and months, I was repeating myself. I've never repeated myself more than 100 times, you know, just to get funding, to get things going. So that's how I kind of get the funding. Because when I went to the board to present for the last time before the approval, where I had 7 people asking me questions, this side in front of me, left. And eventually, he kept quiet. And they look at me.
Because he knew your stuff.
Yeah. And eventually, but of course, that you cannot do without the support of the people. Without the people showing you that they trust you, they've got confidence in you. That you won't do. You need the confidence of the people first before you can do that. Then you'll be confident.
Now, let's talk about where Buggy Automotive Component Supply is today. You know, because you've gone through this journey and you're on the other side.
Yes.
Let's talk about the company today.
The company today, what after the funding from IDC, what we have done, basically, we've set up the facility. We built a facility in Pretoria North. And then we also procure equipment, spray booth equipment. That's what we're doing now. We're spraying the parts now. Some of the parts for the Ranger. Not all the parts, some of the parts. So our plan is to basically, we've got about 32 employees right now. And mostly is female.
Amazing.
Because, our work requires a lot of them. Because we have to clean, our process, we have to clean the parts up until it's clean. And then we paint it. And then we bake it. Similar to your nail process.
Yes. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. I'll think about that next time I get a manicure.
So
okay.
Similar to that. Obviously, you have to put in there to
Yes.
We do the same as well.
Interesting.
Yeah. So from there, we check the quality of the product from that and everything else. And then we ship it directly to my customer. Then my customer obviously will assemble it and then supply the main, which is Ford, will supply Ford directly to Ford to fitment point. So on a daily basis, we receive those parts, call-offs, these. There's always concern, of course. We have to deal with those concerns and then work on them and then supply to make sure. Our role is to make sure the customer is happy all the time. And we try by all means, every step of the way, to make sure the customer gets their part.
And where do you want to take this ship, Sipho? Where are we steering this ship? It is moving. It is assembled.
Look, the plan now, short-term plan is to become a tier one supplier. That's my short-term plan. Probably in the next 5 years or 10 years, we'll be focusing on that. And the big one, though, my main one is to focus on steering wheel, probably after a couple of years, maybe after 10 years, also looking at steering wheel, manufacturing of steering wheel in South Africa, instead of importing and then manufacturing it locally. But then we'll see how far things from get.
Where things could go from there. Now, I'm very keen to find out from you. We keep hearing about EVs in South Africa.
Yes.
And that we need to be ready.
Yeah.
Sipho, do you think we'll be ready on time? You play in the space. You know the things that we don't even know need to happen before then. Yeah. Will we be ready?
EVs, we are ready. Definitely, we are ready. The technology is there. What EVs... It's in our case, it's the issue, obviously, Eskom, you know, and then it's the issue of the infrastructure. If it's going to do with infrastructure, once you get the infrastructure right, you are able to run the EVs. Like Europe, for example, they've got up until 2030, so they will make it because they've got enough setup. They've set up the infrastructure for EVs. South Africa can do the same. You can set up, you see one of the garage in R22, it's got a charger, a battery charger. But sadly, Eskom is not playing the part. So we need now to come up with an alternative to make sure the EVs come through. Okay, let me put it this way. We have no choice.
Yes.
We have no choice. And the more we don't move forward with EVs, the condition for us are going to get worse. The environment, we're impacting a lot of environment. For example, now, if you look at the import, the way we import, metal, plastic in South Africa, we're not saving our environment. And you can imagine now, we're even exporting old batteries for EVs to France for recycling. Can you believe it? So it's I don't know where this is going to end, but at some stage we need to bring back localization. We definitely need to look at smart ways of manufacturing, smart way of doing things. One of them is the EVs. Definitely we need the EVs, and there's no turning back from there. Fuel, as you can see, is expensive. Oil is expensive, so to run with fuel and oil, it's actually just asking
outdated
problems. Otherwise, you're going to be like any other countries looking for oil all over the world. You can't find it.
And what is your hope for the sector? You know, this is a sector, like I said, it's very important to South Africa's overall economy. And one that we are always trying to build. I mean, the program that you've just gone through is an admission from government that we are trying to build the sector. What do you hope to see in the automotive sector in South Africa?
Automotive sector is well established. They've got training. Example, I give you the example, Toyota. Toyota's got a training program outside of you. It's like they're running a school inside a country. That's how they program. That is why I've gained my knowledge and experience at Toyota, because they've got programs. You get MDP, SMDP, GMDP. It goes level by level. Even before you start there, you go through a training. Some companies are willing to do it. It's few. Some companies are willing to train. Even they will tell you, we will train you all the way. You even get penalized as a manager if you don't train your staff at Toyota.
Interesting.
Things like that. You know, you get complete. And they will tell you, you need numbers as well. If, for example, you need to black, white, you need numbers for black and white. You need numbers for female and males. So all of that, they take care of that. So they've got a full package. For you to have that, you need a very dynamic HR policies and system in place to move forward like that. They've got like a full package of that. That's how they move forward. So if all the suppliers or customers can adopt that kind of systems, they'll be in a good space. That is why they very much relax in their space, because they've got resources and things to train people. And you become better every day they train you. That's the reality.
Also, I'd like to thank you for your time this evening and congratulating you on all that you've achieved. And we'll be watching your story here at Power FM to see, you know, just how much you will be able to also, I'm sure, give back to communities. But just watching your story and hearing of your story is one of those good stories. We don't have many good stories in South Africa. This is one of those good stories. So thank you so much for your time and your beautiful wife who came with you today to spend time with us. It is 8 p.m. I am officially out of here.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za. or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.